Our first lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b through 13. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is reminding the Corinthian Christians of the value of spiritual gifts. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our next reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, speaking of the birth of the Christian church. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale forced. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Perinthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perigia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, and your daughters, your young men will see visions, and your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. The word of the Lord. When the Holy Spirit came and the disciples were speaking, they were speaking those foreign languages, and the people didn't understand, and they said, They must be drunk. I got to tell you, I have never been accused of being drunk when I left church. I think it's safe to say I've never done anything that would even give anyone the impression that I might be drunk, either while I'm in church or after I leave church. We Presbyterians, we like everything to be decent and in order. In fact, that's one of our catchphrases. In that Pentecost Sunday when the church was born, the Holy Spirit was anything but decent and in order. While things were happening, the Holy Spirit came with power. And there are some characteristics of that, five that I want to mention, that describe, I think, the Holy Spirit and what happened that day. The first one is powerful. When the Holy Spirit came, it came with great power. We read of a mighty rushing wind. This spring, we've had some days when the wind was really kicking it up, 50 miles an hour. You can hear the wind blowing when it's blowing that hard from inside. And it's powerful enough to blow down tree limbs and even trees themselves. And this is the power that's being described that's coming to the first church. Second characteristic is public. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, had been hunkered down in that upper room behind locked doors, praying. But when the Holy Spirit came, they spilled out into the street, and their message became very public. There for all to see. Third characteristic was chaotic. No decency and in order there. It was wild and crazy. Speaking all these different languages. Reminds me of when I was in seminary. I had to visit a church that was different than the one I was doing my internship in on the south side of Chicago. And I went to a black storefront Pentecostal church. And it was very different. There was holy dances in the aisle. They were speaking in tongues. There were words of prophecy. They were anointing people with oil and praying for them. And there was even an exorcism. And the service lasted for 4 hours. It was not decent and in order. And it was very different from anything I'd ever experienced. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it can be chaotic. The fourth one is pyrotechnic. I didn't come up with that word. I found that one. Explosive. It talks about coming like a tongues of fire. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't come as a little oil lamp with a little flame. It comes as a big explosion in the sky. Powerful, again, going back to that word, dynamic, explosive. And then the fifth characteristic is prophetic. Peter stood up to speak, quoted from the prophet Joel, telling them, explaining what's going on now that this Holy Spirit has come, pointing them to Jesus. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. It points people to Jesus. And 3,000 people became believers that day. The birth of the church. I wonder if we see those characteristics of the Holy Spirit in our church. Do we see it to be powerful, public, chaotic, pyrotechnic, and prophetic? Do we see that? Let me ask you this. if the Holy Spirit was to leave our church completely, what would change? Anything? What if, let's change the question around, what if the Holy Spirit were to come to our church? What might it change? I believe the church needs to do things decently and in order. But I also believe that the Holy Spirit can be chaotic and unpredictable, and like a mighty wind or tongues of fire. And I don't fully know how to reconcile those two things because they're very different. But let me share with you what I think, or how I think I see the Holy Spirit at work in our midst, using those five things, characteristics I've mentioned. The first is powerful. The Apostle Paul, we read in Corinthians, describes the church as one body, has different parts, different gifts that contribute different ways to the body, but the one body is able to do great things, far more than the individuals. And I think that speaks of not just the local church, it talks about all churches together. And I would suggest to you that one of the powerful ways the Spirit is working in our midst is through the Talbot Interfaith Shelter, TIS. Because no one church could do what they're doing. They provide not only shelter for people who are homeless, but they work with those people to try to bring stability back into their lives and find places where they can permanently dwell and where they get back on their feet. And like I said, no one church could do that by themselves. But all the churches that have partnered together and the individuals that have become part of that, those who volunteer, they're making a powerful difference in this community. So that's the power. Then there's the public. How does the people outside our church view us? When I go and I'm part of meetings and such out in the community, when people find out where I'm from, I'll often have people come up and tell me what a wonderful job we're doing out in the community. And they're thinking of things like our community garden, our food pantry, our preschool kids club, our involvement with TIS, our involvement with Habitat. So these various things that we do outside in the community. And usually they associate us with one of those because they're probably part of that. But I also wonder, those that aren't part of one of those ministries, do they know what's happening in this church? If this church were to close tomorrow, would we be missed? Would anyone even notice? This is an area I think the Holy Spirit really needs to grab a hold of us. So the third area is chaotic. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is going to be moving us to be rolling in the aisles and speaking in tongues. But you know, the charismatic and the Pentecostal churches are the fastest growing churches in the world and even in our country. Something's going on there. There's an excitement that the Holy Spirit brings. And we could use some of that excitement. What I really think about the Holy Spirit being chaotic is that it is unpredictable. We don't know where it might lead. Who knew that several years ago we'd be led to build a school building in Malawi? Or that we would start a community garden, or that we would do mud buckets, or the food co-op that we did. All these things, I think, were the meeting of the Holy Spirit, things that we wouldn't have thought of on our own. The Holy Spirit leads us in unknown, unpredictable ways. And as we as a church this year are trying to reevaluate who we are, and who we want to be and how we get there, and our session is working on these things, we need that Holy Spirit, that unpredictable, that chaotic Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in these matters. Then there's the pyrotechnic, the explosions, the fireworks. Again, this is better seen in the larger church than the individual church. And I would mention here the Habitat for Humanity. I would say a good number of people throughout our country know what Habitat is. They started in the 1970s with the goal of the vision of providing safe, affordable housing for those who are in need. And over the 40 plus years that they've been in existence, almost 7 million people in 70 different countries live in Habitat housing. That's explosive. That's powerful. That comes because Christians join together, partner together, and even with people that aren't Christians that have the same vision, join together to do God's work. And then finally, there's the prophetic. We need to be speaking to the areas of justice and equality and human rights. We need to be praying that these things will come. Care for the least of these in our society. Every week we pray for Emilio and Ruth Beltran and pray for their being released from prison. They've been falsely accused and imprisoned, and we pray for justice on their behalf, and it hasn't come, and we've been praying for 3 years or more. But we've also seen the Holy Spirit work in their situation, starting churches in those Mexican prisons, and even creating the pastors that, when, once they are released, start churches outside of the prisons. A powerful work that the Holy Spirit is doing, even in the midst of something that is unjust. So we need to be working for justice. We have our conversation on race, where we're trying to wrestle with how most of us here have benefited from white privilege, whether we recognize it or not, and how we are seeing racial inequality in our society. And as long as that's there, we need to be struggling with how can we change that. Prophetic words, prophetic works, this is part of the Holy Spirit working in us. So I see the Holy Spirit in our midst doing some great things. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to do so. That we would be equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do some powerful works, to be out in the public, that it might be chaotic, unpredictable, that it would be pyrotechnic, explosive, and that it would be prophetic. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, claim this your church. Inhabit this community with a constant rush of wind and ever-present roar of flame. May our daughters and sons prophesy. May our men and women see your visions and dream your dreams. And through the people of this church, reach out in love to all who live in this community. Light such a flame among us that all who pass by this place will pause in wonder and feel led to enter and bow down before you. Fill this church with your Spirit, Lord, and to you alone be the glory. Amen.